Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Okay, we're going to look at tonight something that I call the formula for success. And the formula for success for a Christian is not the same thing as what the world thinks success is. And I know if you've ever put on an infomercial or seen books in the bookstore of how to take any college and career classes, they have their own ideas of what success is. They have a program for everything. And believe me, all they want to do is take your money. There might be some good principles involved there, but the only principles that they ever find that are any good are scriptural. And they usually come from the Bible. I remember one time I had to take an awful lot of, it seems like worthless classes. I mean, maybe they think I'm still trainable, but they're constantly sending me to programs and classes. And I remember years ago, I went to John Jay College, and they sent me there for a month or so to take these classes. And we had this big college professor come in. And the first thing this guy did was walk up in front of the class and says, "I'm going to give you some advice." And he stood there and says, "Tell your children it's all right to be bad. It's all right to be bad. It's all right to be bad." And he just kept repeating it. And, you know, I wanted to do the Christian martial art thing, go up there and break a knee or an elbow or pop in the nose or something. But he really offended me right off the bat. And then he had the nerve to take the whole class out and parade us across the campus to go to a bookstore to see the book that he has written. To him, that was success. He was so proud of that. And lo and behold, about 5 years later, I had to take another class, and who was the professor? This same guy. But I noticed he wasn't the same. He was totally different. His demeanor was different. His attitude was different. As something happened to this guy, well, that guy spent the summer doing a study working with Quakers. The guy was never the same. Now, do I think he got saved? I don't think so, and I don't know much about their doctrine. But his focus, his idea of success was not the same as it was before. His arrogancy was gone. And if we look in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to take a look at the Apostle Paul, our apostle. If you look in, we'll start up around verse 3. Says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." I know the last time I spoke on confidence, but we have no confidence in the flesh, no confidence at all, because you're going to get old. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in his flesh, I the more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul, in a way, was given his pedigree. Paul kind of was laying out his resume, and it's very impressive. Very impressive. And if anybody had opportunity among the Jews to kind of glory in his flesh, it was Paul. But as we know, Paul had a divine appointment. Let's look down around verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, though I count loss for Christ, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith." The world has their own ideas of what a successful person should be. And you know what? And sometimes as Christians, we have preconceived ideas that we bring in. You know, we might look at a guy who's got, and I'm not picking on anybody, a huge, nice, fancy building like Gateway. I mean, good for them. I'm happy for them. You know, or even when I go to Rochester and I look at the huge church that they have at the First Bible Baptist Church up there. Huge, huge building. Church is so big they have three services on Sunday. And if you want the messages, you know, I think you can go online and get the message after he preaches. You know, that's all fine. That's all good. And we might look at that and say, wow, that's a successful church. Might not be. Might not be. We may be small. We may be in a warehouse. But you know what? If Christ is first, that's success. God does not look on the physical, but on the spiritual. You know, we have even Paul, when he talked about his righteousness. You know, the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And Paul was probably more qualified than anybody there, but he was trying to drive home a point. None of them could compare to Paul, not a single one of them. But he counted everything but dung. Everything was lost for the cause of Christ. We're in Philippians. Go to chapter 2. So there has to be, for success as a Christian, there has to be preparation. You got to have some kind of preparation. You got to undergo training. Okay, let's see. Philippians chapter 2, start in verse 1. Let's see. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now that is contradictory to anything that the world will teach you about success. I work with guys that have big, big, big egos. And they like to play games, and they like to flex their muscle and their power and just do things to let everybody know who's in charge. And they think they're successful. They think they're successful. And they know I'm a Christian, and they try to, you know, press your buttons just like it happens to you on your job. They try to push your buttons. But you know what? You keep these verses in mind. You keep that meekness. Now, and they, you know, sometimes they take that for weakness, but it's not. And you know what makes this church that we're reading about successful? It says because they're like-minded. That's a successful church. Not someone who has a big building doesn't mean they're not successful. I'm not saying that churches with big buildings aren't. But you know what? We're supposed to be like-minded. Now, are we going to agree on everything? You know, just get me and Larry and Jim Scroy together, and you'll find out we don't agree on a lot of things. But you know what? When it comes to the gospel, we're to be like-minded. There's not supposed to be any strife. There's not supposed to be any, as I said, vain glory. Look every man on his own things in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Boy, you know what? That would solve a whole lot of problems, including in my own home. I didn't make that mess. I didn't leave that there. That's not mine. And that's just me. No. But that would solve a lot of the problems. A lot of churches you go in, there is such discord. It's just unbelievable, some of the things that you hear. All right, let's see. Well, that's one. I'm not very good. I usually don't work from notes. My daughter saw notes and she panicked, and now I understand why. Okay. All right, you're looking, let's continue down here. We left off what? In verse 5. But let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ had a pedigree above any man that has ever set foot on the earth, far above what Paul had. And what did Jesus Christ do? He humbled himself. He became a servant, obedient to death on the cross. The world would never look at that as success. They don't humble themselves. People try to puff themselves up and make themselves big shots. I just had a bad week at work. Don't mind me. You know, it's not been good. Okay? But humble themselves. Humble yourself. No reputation. I always read about David. And one time I did a study on David. And David repeatedly, when he thought about building the temple, kept saying to the Lord, who am I? Who am I that I should build the temple? Who am I that I should do this? You want to keep yourself in check? Ask yourself, who am I? I did it all the time. I came to a point in my Christian life, there's a lot of new, I've been here a long time. You know, I'm like a bad penny that we just can't get rid of. And you see a lot of new people come in. And that's good. That's a successful church. New people. And people who aren't just filling pews. And they'd come in and they'd be, kind of like my wife and daughter. I'm in the car. I'm like, I'm in between, I said to myself, whoa, you've only been here 6 months. Who the heck are you? Until I studied the life of David. And then, that thing, turned around. Well, behold, David, you are the man. I thought, oh, boy, Lord, who am I? Who am I? And I determined in my mind that I wanted to become of no reputation. I wanted to try to just blend into the woodwork. I didn't even want anybody to know that I'm here, that I'm in First Bible Church. Well, that doesn't work. First of all, pastor won't allow it. That's one thing. And you're not, how do I put this delicately? I was of no use that way. You're absolutely of no use. But you know what? That should be all hard attitudes. That's the way it should be. Go to Proverbs 27. We get into some practical experience. Proverbs 27. Look at the verses 1 and 2. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips. A stranger, and not thine own lips. I know Pastor Mike, him and I don't agree on everything. He likes to hear testimonies. And you know what? That's a good thing. We need to hear what's going on. We need to know what's happening. But you know what? I'm always very, very, very careful about giving testimonies. Always. God's got to kind of have the blade in my back, and he'll have me over on the edge of the cliff going like this, walk the plank. Come on, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. I try to be very careful. I don't come in, hey, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. It frightens me. The Spirit of God will tell you exactly when to speak all the time. And I'm not, if you give testimonies all the time, that's a good thing. That's just me. That's a good thing. But always check heart attitude. Don't praise yourself. Don't praise yourself. There's one thing I'll never forget. Dan Sabaka said something to me one day, and I never forgot it. He says, you want to find out where your heart attitude is? You want to find out where you really are at the Lord? He says, go lead someone to Christ and then don't tell anybody. Try it. It's hard. It's, I guess, because you're so excited, you know. And you should be. It's a joyful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But if you get that opportunity, try it, man. It is real, real difficult. I never forgot that. Go to Luke chapter 14. Am I talking as fast as Paul? probably fast. Yeah, we're going to go down around verse 8. So, I mean, already we're starting to see a pattern of the world's success and success for a Christian. It's not the same. It's not the money you have in your pocket. It's not the house you live in. It's not the car you drive. It's not the job you have. It's not even, to be honest with you, if you're a great and wonderful orator, which you can tell that I am not, it's not how many tracts you hand out. It's always going to come down to heart attitude. I'm always thinking the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you have Billy Graham, and I have a certain amount of respect for the guy. And there's a lot of guys out there who have probably done a lot of wonderful things. And we think, oh, boy, when the judgment seat of Christ comes, boy, this guy's going to be up on the front row, you know, gold star, gold medal, the whole works. And you know what? I often think, suppose Billy Graham was called to be a missionary. Suppose Billy Graham was just called to be a pastor of a local church. You know what? Billy Graham's a failure then. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying, but I mean, that could be. That could be. And there might be some dear old saint who's stuck in a house somewhere who can't even really get out and can't even go to church, and all she does is pray for the saints and pray for the men on the mission field. You know what? Success. Success. So, I just think strange. Don't worry about me. Okay, chapter 14, go down I will start verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. When he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, Who, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thee be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him cometh and say to thee, give this man place, and thou being with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up hither. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. And I'm sure, and I'm going to tell you a story. Oh, I'm full of stories. And I'm sure my students have heard this story more than once, and have probably maybe even seen it happen. When we go to Rochester to meet all the grand poobahs, you know, and there's not supposed to be any egos, and there's not supposed to be any egos in martial arts, but, you know, men are men are men are men. And they go there, and they have the gratings, and there's hundreds of people, and they have tables set up across the front. And all the big muckety mucks in our organization sit at the tables. And they come in their nice suits and their ties and, you know, look really official, you know, with their little pen and paper. And every time I go, I suit up and I go and I line up with the students. And then, and I always think of this portion of Scripture, and Grandmaster Park will go, no, no, he'll stand up in front of everybody. No, no, John, you come up and come over here and you sit at the table. And that was going on for years until he finally yelled at me and said, no, you come in, you come rest, and you come sit at the table. But you know what? That guy knew that I feel that as an instructor, I'm a servant. I'm a servant to my students. I don't want to set myself up as anybody or any big ego. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to sit, and he called me up to sit at the table. And that's the way we should be in life, period. That's the way you should be as Christians. Now, you look at the way the world looks at that? No, absolutely not. You got to think. I'm trying to think. I'm supposed to, forget it. My mind is gone. Not think positive. Well, anyhow, you're supposed to think highly of yourself. I don't know how that goes. I forget. I mean, we don't belittle ourselves. Hey, you know what? I'm a child of the King. Period. You know, I hear these guys talk. You know who my father is? I say, yeah, you know who my father is? It's a lot better than yours, that's for sure. But that's the way the world is. That's the way they look at themselves. They think of themselves something. If you're a humble guy, they think you're weak. But you know what? If you're at work and you do your job, they notice it, and they're always going to turn to you. No matter what, they're going to turn to you. And I don't want to get into too much stuff about myself, but just do an honest day's work, and you watch God bless you. No doubt about it. All right, so there needs to be for success, there needs to be preparation. And as a Christian, preparation starts every single day. How do we prepare every day before we go out into the world? Get up and put on the news and find out what the weather's going to be or if they blew something up. You know? No. Every day, where are we supposed to be? We prepare to go out in the world. We prepare ourselves. We sit down and we pray. We open the scriptures. We get ourselves ready to go out into the world. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. If you want success in the world, you got to go buy the videos, the DVDs, the tapes, take the courses, do all that stuff to get prepared to go out and become successful according to the world. You know, as a Christian, it's the same thing. It's the same principle. You want success as a Christian, you got to be prepared. You know what? Sitting home or falling asleep with the remote in your hand in front of the TV rather than being in church is not going to prepare you to be a successful Christian. Guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. When I am home, I'll sit there and I'll have that remote and I'll hold it there like it's some precious thing. You know, I should hold my Bible that way when I sit in the chair. And I just fall asleep in 5 minutes, and I think I told you last time, then, you know, they start sliding that thing out. I go, oh, I was awake. Happens all the time. So they complain, whatever I put on anyhow. You know, Andy Griffith and stuff like that. Okay, Exodus 16. Let's take a look. Ooh, boy, this is too much. Shoot. Look, oh, man. Let's start, look in verse 19. Start in verse 19. You know, that's, can't start there either. I'll try to give you the condensed version. You know how the children of Israel left Egypt and they were complaining that they didn't have anything to eat. You know, we all think with our stomachs, especially once I got saved. And I never thought of food so much until I got saved. I never drank coffee until I got saved. Every fellowship you have is coffee and cake. So now I started to think to be saved, you had to drink coffee and eat cake, and it hasn't done much for me. Well, the children of Israel are complaining. So we look up in verse 14, it says, and when the dew that laid was gone, behold, upon the face of the earth, the wilderness, the lit around thing. Okay, yeah, this is what I'm looking for. But that's not where I want to be. Ah, here we go. Go to verse 21. So we all know how they got the manna. The manna would be there. They get up first thing in the morning. They go. They'd have to pick up the manna. And here's the key to the thing. It had to be done every single day. every single day. Look at verse 21. It says, and they gathered it up every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. So they had to go, if they wanted to eat, if they wanted to eat the manna, they had to go every single day. And they had to collect that manna in the morning. Because if they didn't go in the morning, they went back in the afternoon, it was gone. And what happens if they try collecting too much? Anybody remember? You know, the worms go in, the worms go out. The stuff rotted and stunk and was no good. You know what? You can't come to church just on Sunday and read your Bible and think that the rest of the week you're going to be full. You're going to be starving to death. You're going to be emaciated. You're going to be weak. You're going to be sickly. You're not going to be prepared each day to go out in the world and serve the Lord. If you're not praying and you're not in the Scriptures that morning before you go out, God ain't going to send anybody your way. There's not going to be no divine appointment. It's not going to happen. And I know what happened. I know human nature. After a while, what happened? Oh, manna again. You know, I mean, how many different ways could they make manna? Manna condi, manna burgers, you know, manna pancakes. I mean, after a while, it got old. And that happens to Christians too, don't it? Admit it. It gets old sometimes. And then the Bible just sits there, and we don't crack it, and we don't open it up, and we don't read it. You know what? It needs to be new every day. And I've been saved since 1980, a long time ago. And you know what? Every single day it's new. I mean, am I, you know, super Christian? There hasn't been days that I've missed, you know, or I didn't get to read it in the morning, and there I am at the north side out in my car in the freezing cold in the winter trying to read before I go into the building. But you never stop learning. Never. How many times have you read the Scriptures? 100 times. Or you've read through the Bible, I don't know how many times, and all of a sudden you read something, and a little light bulb goes on top of your head, go, oh my gosh, I never saw that before. It never gets old. Well, you read that same Scripture that morning. You come in and passed the mic preachers on it. You saw something that you never saw before. It never gets old. It never gets stale. It has to be every day. Every single day. You want to prepare? It's got to be every single day. Go to Exodus. We're in Exodus. Go to Exodus 19. Look at verse 9. Yeah, yes, this is good. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words unto the people. 9, 10, 11, okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. You need to prepare every single day. Success, you're going to need preparation. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. You know, I like when that guy came and did the Seder. That guy, boy, he set me up good. He had us laughing and giggling. That guy was a riot until he got to that spring cleaning deal, where we talked about how the women would clean the house and that the men would come in and check to see if it was clean. And he said they invented spring cleaning, which was good. I like that. But you know what? Man, we don't. Look, it'd be coming any day. We need to be doing some spring cleaning. We need to be cleaning our house. We need to prepare for the Lord's coming. Prepare to meet God. Okay, go to, even in Amos. Amos chapter 4, it talks about preparing to meet thy God, O Israel. Go down, let's... Yeah, man, there's just too much stuff here. All right, I think I beat preparation to death. You got to prepare constantly. You want success, you got to do your homework. You got to put in the hours. You got to labor. You know, and we've seen it many times. Pastor Mike talks about it. Pastor Mel talked about it. You know, they send these guys out to Bible college. And, you know, it's like in the military. They call them 90-day wonders. They set them out. They train them up. Okay, go out and start a church. That guy's not prepared to start a church. He don't know the first thing about starting a church, about running a church. Well, when we send our kids to driver's ed. I'm getting in trouble here. Man, everybody drives already. Send them to driver's ed. And they go in there. And they set them up. And then they go and they take their written test. Then they take their road test. And they go, oh, I have arrived. I have a driver's license. You don't have a clue how to drive. You don't have a clue. You got a little tag that says from the state of New York, we're giving you permission to go out and drive. But you don't know how to drive. Don't have a clue. You need to get out there and you need to labor in a church. You need to get alongside somebody. The next thing I notice, if you look at these courses, they say to get around somebody who's successful. You know what? If you hang around with losers, you're going to be a loser. I can tell you a lot about that. I hung around with a lot of losers. And I was probably the leader. I got everybody in trouble all the time. All the time. When I was slick. You got to find someone who's successful. You want success? What are you going to do? You're going to hang around with the guy who's swinging the mop with no education? That who you're going to hang around with? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, good, hard-working guy. I'm just saying. But who are you going to hang around with? You're going to look at Donald Trump. You're going to look at some of these other nuts they have on TV with the real estate and making all kinds of money. That's who you're going to... Those are the principles you're going to take. The same thing happens in Christianity. Let me tell you. You and I both know in this church who the people in here are who we should be hanging around with. You're hanging around with someone who's not doing anything, who's just filling a seat. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to sit there and you're just going to fill a seat. And I'm not going to mention names, but you know who those guys are. There's guys in this church that I should be running out there and hanging out with. Should do it. Should do it. Now, Moses is the ideal guy that Israel should have been hanging out with. Who else spoke face to face with God? Moses did. It says God knew Moses' name. Moses spent so much time up on Mount Sinai. When he came down off Mount Sinai, what happened? It just showed the guy was glowing all over the place. Looks like he was at a nuclear reactor. It was apparent. Think about it. How many guys, I mean, you know, you run into Christians, and, you know, they've always got that, like they've been sucking persimmons. You know, they got that big smile on their face. You know, ah, glory to God, all the guys walking 10 feet off the ground. That guy's been seen something. He's experienced something. He's been with God. Then everybody else, you know, I'm driving to church, somebody cuts me off. I got this. You know, I can't get Timothy. Oh, no, I can't say stuff like that no more. Can't get the kids up. Come on, we're going to be late. We're going to make this. We're going to be late. I hate to be late. And by the time I get to church, I'm going to, yeah, all right, come on, bless me. I dare you. You know? And then you get Fran. Fran comes walking up and goes, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. You've been there. You can. Well, yeah, hang around with somebody like that. Hang around with somebody who's been successful. Let's go to Exodus 33. But if you want to be successful as a Christian, you know, it's called discipleship. You want to get with someone who you know is doing something. You don't want to hang out with a guy who, you know, comes Sunday morning the rest of the week, you know. Who knows what we're doing. And like I said, you know, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of too many things. Let's go to verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloud pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And the people saw the cloud pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent. And the Lord spake with Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. Go down to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You know why? Anytime the Lord spent time with Moses, all the people saw it. They all knew it. It was evident. It was there. It was not hidden. They seen it on a regular basis. So don't hang around with the losers. Don't do it. I hate to bring it up. I know even in martial arts, when everybody used to line up the spar, everybody go with, they'd go kind of like this, and they'd kind of look for somebody who they felt comfortable with. You know what? You never get any better if you're with the guy who's comfortable, you're comfortable with. You never get any better if you spar with the guy that you know you could beat every time you spar him. You know what? You got to pick someone who's going to beat the tar out of you if you expect to get better. You know what? You got to get out on the mission field. You got to go. You got to go. You got to push the limit. I know Pastor Mike is real big on getting out on the street. You know what? Got to get out on the street. You got to do it. Got to get out there and open our mouths. Get out there. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, right, in this chapter 34, when he came down, this guy was so oozing with spending time with God. What did he have to do? He had to put a veil upon his face. And even the people, they didn't want to talk with the Lord. These are people who spent how much time trying to get prepared for God to come down. They didn't want to talk with the Lord. They wanted to talk to Moses. They didn't want to spend any time. They weren't prepared. You know what? We got to get prepared. You want success as a Christian? Be prepared. Get prepared. Shoulder up with somebody. There's older Christians here that, boy, I'll tell you. And there are some younger Christians here that I gladly go out with anytime. Moses met with God on a regular basis. In Exodus chapter 20, you take a look. All the people saw, I mentioned it already, chapter 20, 18 through 19, it says, and all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, what did they do? They removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear thee. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Those aren't the guys that I want to run with. I think last time we talked about Caleb and Joshua, you know, when they were in the land of, was it Achan? Anakin, whatever, I forget. The land of the giants. How's that? The land of the giants. And they wanted to go into the promised land. Those guys didn't want to go. Caleb thought they were nuts. Those aren't the guys I want to run with. I want to hang out with the guys who have a vision. The guys who are looking for success. Gosh, this is way too much. Yeah, they were definitely the wrong group to run with. Okay. So we get preparation. You know, we partner up with somebody. Find someone who's already successful. And, you know, it's not in their own flesh. I mean, these are just guys or ladies who walk close with God, who spend time with God. And it's going to be evident. And like I said, we all know who they are. But then after that, it's time to get involved. You know, I wish I had a dime for everybody who told me they watched one of those infomercials, one of those shows, and they spent all this money, and they got these CDs and videos and all this, and they watched them, and they spent that money, and you know what they did with it? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. You can't come to church and get trained and get trained and get trained and get trained and become what I call database Christians. Just keep loading it in, download it, download it, and then do nothing with it. You get that driver's license? I mean, I couldn't wait to get out in that car and put the key in and try to kill myself. I couldn't wait. But you get that brand new car, you get that driver's license, you get that key, and you never get in the car and put the key in and turn it on, you know, and don't drive. My mother-in-law was like that. She got a driver's license when, however old she was, and never drove again until she was gone. Never drove. Renewed that license every, 3 years or whatever, but never drove. You come here, you get trained, you better do something with it. You better do something. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. When you invest in those DVDs and videos and those books, it costs you money. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to invest in it. It's going to cost you. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 5, we talked about humble themselves. Look at verse 6. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Go back to chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. "But if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye." Boy, how many of us are like that? I'm not, I tried witness to a guy at work, and he said this, and he said that, and now they're all mad at me. We should be happy. "And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." When I first got saved, I was out there with my sword, and I was trying to lop heads off. Lop heads off. Man, the Bible says, "Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove." I got to a point one time, I remember and I was at Clove Lakes Nursing Home. I was working there, and a guy was hassling me in the shop about the Bible, this and that, and I threw a sledgehammer across the room and almost hit him in the head. I mean, that would have been good. Could have killed the guy. Could have had a jail ministry, you know? But you know what? You got to do things with love. I mean, you get out in the street or go anywhere, we pass the mic. Man, that's why we shouldn't be taping this stuff. That guy is incredible. He's got a way with people. Man, everything I got, I count as dung. I take a small portion of that, the way he is. And I know it's not the man. I know it comes from the Lord and all that. But man, anybody that could lead my father to the Lord, whew, gosh, praise the Lord. Where are we? I don't even remember where we are anymore. 1 Peter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You know what? If you made your own trouble and they're persecuting you for it, you know, hey, you caused it. You caused it. Guilty again. Guilty again. But you know what? If you're going to be out there and you're going to give out the gospel and you're going to live for Christ, expect it. It's going to come. I mean, those guys had to sleep in the airport. You think Satan wants them in Haiti? Sure don't look like it. Trying to make everything difficult. Trying to make it difficult. I don't remember where I got this. I think maybe Larry Stagdo might have said this. I'm trying to remember that one. You must go to new levels, but you'll find new devils. That's what's going to happen. You want success? You got to push it. 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 Don't be that database Christian. You know? Go to Proverbs 22. You look at the verse 1. I love this verse. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. You know, that's a tough thing to gain. That's one of the hardest things to get, is to get a good name. And it's more valuable than anything that money could buy. That's for sure. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'll try to sum this wild thing up here. Let's go to Joshua 1. This is the, I'm going to give you the formula from the scriptures for success. All right. You got to spend the time doing preparation, right? You got a partnership up with somebody. You got to become a partaker. So you look at Joshua chapter 1. Oh, I got to get there myself. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There it is. There it is. Any good principle that the world ever came up with, they stole from the Bible to begin with. Anything they come up with. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Familiar territory. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. There's the true formula for success. Anything the world has to offer is going to burn, including those two stinking bathrooms upstairs. I can't wait. You know, they're going to burn. They're going to burn. You're not going to take it with you. You know why a cowboy dies with his boots on? So he don't stub his toe when he kicks the bucket. No. You're not going to take it with you. Hey, put your, this is, where does that go? Where your treasures are, there will your heart be also, man. There's where you want your success. The best success for a Christian is going to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man, forget it. Forget it. This world has nothing to offer us. I mean, I know everybody knows this, but you know what? I need to be reminded all the time. Just as the children of Israel, sometimes I read the Old Testament and I look back and I go, man, how stupid could you be? How stupid could you be? And I realize, you know, that's put there as a reminder for you how stupid you are. One thing I hate is to have to relearn. And boy, I tell you, all the time I'm constantly relearning. I like learning new things. I don't like to have to relearn the same thing over and over and over. You know, I'm surprised my head's not flatter than it is from so many times I had to run it into the wall and run it to the wall before the Lord says, okay, you want success? Wait a minute, hold on. Hey, let me open the door for you. Well, let's pray. That's enough. That's enough. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Father, for everything we need. It's contained in it, Lord. I personally thank you for the day that you plucked me off the road to destruction, Lord. Father, I just ask, Lord, anything that I said that might have been out of line or wrong, Lord, that you would wash it from our memories, Father, and just let your words by the Spirit of God sink into our hearts, Lord. Father, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.